This is Living the RV Dream with Traveling Robert, episode 4 for April 14, 2017.
I'm riding with my RV, wherever I want to be, 'cause I'm free in my RV.
Well, hello, everybody. Hello, happy campers. How's everybody doing? We're doing great. Living the RV dream one weekend at a time, because as you know, my wife and I, we are not full timers yet. That is the goal at some point in life, but we still hold, regular day jobs, and we just try to take as many vacation days as we can, job permitting, and take sometimes like an extended weekend so we can travel to the Everglades or somewhere, within the 3-hour driving time, range, more or less. 2 weeks ago, for example, we went 1 hour north of here at the Del Rey Beach and Boca Raton area. We went to this RV park called Del Raton, which is very cleverly a play on words, on Del Rey Beach and Boca Raton. That particular RV park doesn't have too many amenities to speak of, but it's impeccably located. I mean, it is within 5-10 minute drive from the beach. It was a little pricey for that same reason. It was, and that's when I realized that we were straddling the high season and the low season, because the first night was $53 and the second night was $43. So, supposedly this is the end of the busy season, but that place was packed, booked solid. I mean, there was not one site empty, actually. One site empty next to us. Maybe somebody was reserving for the following week or what have you. But everything was super busy. The beach was hard to find parking, although nothing compared to South Beach or any, it wasn't as busy as we are used to in Miami, but it was beautiful beach weather. I mean, perfect weather. The water was a little chilly by South Florida standards, but very, very pleasant and very refreshing, actually. I actually welcomed the fact that the water was a little cold. And we are already halfway through April. Time is flying. Anyways, this is episode number 4, so you can find the show notes at travelingrobert.com/podcast/0004. Yeah, that's 3 zeros before the number, because why not? Maybe we'll get to 10,000 episodes someday. At our current schedule, that would take 180 years, but who knows? Anyways, let's go to the part of the show in which you, the listeners, all you guys, our friends across the RV world, get to be the star. Here's your feedback.
Hello, Robert. This is Rainy Champagne from the great state of Maine. Wanted to say thank you for sending us some warm weather. Unfortunately, he also sent us some thunderstorms and lightning. The snow is melting pretty good, and tomorrow morning, Monique and I will be going to an RV show in our town of Auburn, Maine. I will try to post a video and send it out. I'm very thankful for you sending us to sunshine, and hope to be on your show again. The dogs are very happy. They get to run outside today and not worry about being cold. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
All right, Renee, thank you so much for your call. And you are more than welcome to be on the show whenever you want to talk about your great state of Maine or anything you want to talk about. And you're very welcome. I wish I had something to do with the warm weather coming your way, but I'm very glad that you are getting some warmer weather. The thunderstorms, I'm not too sure about. But anyways, I hope you are de-winterizing your trailer soon and being able to do some camping trips with Monique very soon.
Hi, Robert. This is Robert from Ohio. Used to live in Fort Myers Beach as a kid. Can't wait to retire and get back down there. Love your YouTube channel and your videos, and also now your podcasts. I was wondering, I have an Android. Do you know or what would you recommend as a podcast app? There are several to pick from, and I just want the best one to work with your podcast. Not really sure how you can respond, but maybe I'll hear it in a podcast, because I'm listening. Have a good one, Robert. Take care.
All right, Robert, thank you very much for your message. And I do have an answer for you because several years ago, I switched from iPhone to an Android device. At first, I had a Samsung and now have an LG. I've had it for a couple of years. And I was also searching for the best podcast app because I am a podcast junkie, as they call them. I listen to a lot of podcasts. And the app that I have found that does the best job is called Pocket Casts. It's not free. It's like $4, but sometimes, you know, you get what you pay for, and in this case, you get your $4 worth and more, because it is great, and it has one great feature, because, you know, we switch phones once in a while, and it has a feature that you can log in. It's free to log in with your username and password, and then when you switch phones, when you install the app on your new phone, you just log in, and it just loads all your podcasts, and it remembers where you were, it remembers what you have listened to and what you haven't. And overall, it works quite well. It has a couple of features that I like. Some, you know, sometimes some people in podcasts, they speak too slow because that's the way they speak. And the way that my brain works, if the person speaks too slow, I get bored and my mind starts wandering somewhere else. So what it has a setting that you can even make it slower or make the speech faster up to 2 times. I think the sweet spot for me with most people is 1.3 times. It also has a setting that removes the pauses, you know, the silence in the podcast. Sometimes some people just, I do it sometimes, I just start speaking and then I make a pause while I collect my thoughts. Well, all those pauses, it removes them. And that's another great feature. Third great feature is called a volume adjustment or loudness maximize. Let me look at it because I should give you the accurate information, actually. Hold on. Okay, here we go. The feature that I was talking before is called trim silence. So it reduces the podcast length and, you know, any dead air, it will remove it. And the other feature is called volume boost, which makes the voices sound louder because sometimes, you know, a lot of people who do podcasts, they don't have exactly the perfect audio, even though their content is great. Sometimes the audio is not up to snuff, and with this feature, every podcast sounds the same loudness. Very nice, and you can apply it to all the podcasts. And it also has a sleep feature. So if you listen to podcasts when you go to sleep, you can tell after 30 minutes just turn off the podcast or whatever. It's very nice. It's called Pocket Casts, and it's available in the Android Play, the Google Play Store. Well, I'm going to put a link to it in the show notes. As I mentioned, travelingrobert.com/podcast/0004. And by the way, something I discovered, and it's kind of troubling because, as you know, Apple pretty much, they didn't invent the podcast, but podcast first became popular about, 10, 12 years ago on iPod devices. Well, in iTunes, you don't see the pictures that I've been putting in the show notes. All you see is the text and sometimes the links. And that's one great feature that Pocket Casts has, that it actually does show the pictures. So that's one problem that I noticed. So at the beginning of the show notes from now on, I'm going to put a link to my actual website so you can open it in Safari or Chrome or whatever browser you use. I have a couple more comments. These ones come from the website, from the feedback form. Steve says, "Hey, Robert, just saying hello from frigid northeastern Wisconsin. Love your videos and podcasts. Listen to it on my Alexa. You need to add Wisconsin to your list of states. You're always welcome to boondock in our backyard. Cheers." Well, that's great. Yeah, I've been thinking of Wisconsin for a while. I've seen some videos of people who visited Milwaukee and further north, Green Bay. And there's like a peninsula, the name escapes me now, that where you can buy great cheese. So yeah, I'm looking forward to going to Wisconsin at some point, definitely. And I might take you up on that offer to boondock in your backyard. Tony says, "Greetings, Robert. Enjoying your take on the Living the RV Dream podcast, and I just listened to episode 3. Keep up the good work. I wonder if you might be interested in talking to others around the country who have traveled to different places. My wife and I just spent a week in our RV in the California desert looking at wildflowers." And you can see the story here, and he sends me the link. I'm going to put a link to that in the show notes, by the way. He says, "All the best to you." And yeah, Tony, I'll get in touch with you because, yeah, sure, we can set up some kind of segment where our friends around the country can tell us, you know, about different places where they like to camp, or, you know, off the beaten path destinations, all that kind of good stuff. Some of you may know, who know me from the YouTube channel, I have a long list of places that I want to go to, and I have in my Google map, it's like thousands of little stars, you know, because in Google, you can drop a pin in the different places where you want to go, and it puts a star on them. Okay, before we continue, I have a little bit of sad news about RV parks closing down. Actually, in the Florida Keys, we have two RV parks, and two of my favorite parks actually in the Florida Keys are closing down. So next season we're gonna have less choices, and I really hope this doesn't become a trend, because, you know, it's gonna become harder and harder to camp at the Florida Keys, and that's something that I personally love to do. Anyways, Point of View RV Resort is closing on May 1st. And the other one that it's actually, this was like a legend in the Florida Keys, is one of the oldest RV parks in the Florida Keys. Knight's Key Campground is going to close at some time in July. And, you know, they're selling the property, and they're going to build the condominiums and, you know, charge a lot more money. And that's less choices for us RVers in the Florida Keys. I did a quick poll the other day on the Living the RV Dream podcast group, asking which type of rig you all had, because I want to know, you guys, my audience, what everybody travels with. And I was a little surprised to find out that most of you are diesel pusher guys and girls. And, well, it's not really that surprising, since Living the RV Dream with John and Kathy was perhaps a little Class A big rig centric. You know, we all tend to talk about what we have, right? And for many people, that's the only way to full-time a big rig. And who am I to disagree? You know, to each its own, but sometimes I kind of disagree. And look at me, the guy who isn't even full-timing yet, giving these kinds of opinions. But those of you who have been following me for a while know that I have changed my opinion several times. I began, you know, all I want is a Class A, and eventually we got the trailer, and I'm now even toying with the idea of a Class B, so don't pay any attention to me. By the way, the second place in the poll was taken by travel trailers, what I have, but this is a big category because they're called bumper tows as well. You know, it's the travel trailer that you bump with the ball, you know, with a hitch, and they can be as tiny as 13 foot long, like a casita or a scamper, or they could be as long as 30 feet plus, you know, like a toy hauler. So it is a pretty large category, if you ask me. And the third place was taken by fifth wheels, which is the other type of RV in particular, where a lot of people full-time on fifth wheels. But I think fifth wheel people are more the kind that don't travel as much. Usually, sometimes they even live in parked, as I've seen in many parks here in South Florida. You know, snowbirds, they just come down, live 6 months in the fifth wheel, and then they go back north, or they just drive it once a year, you know, once to the south and once to the north. I forgot to include, by the way, truck campers and Super C RVs, but luckily you guys added those, and thank you for that, you know, one of each. And then the other classes like Class B and Class C didn't get hardly any results. So I guess most people are Class A diesel and fifth wheels. Yeah, Class A gas, almost nobody had. Anyway, my opinion, my two cents, I think you can full-time in whatever you feel like and whatever you feel comfortable. You know, it depends how minimalist you want to be, how much you want to downsize your life. And I know it is hard. You know, I'm already trying to downsize, anticipating the moment when that moment comes, when we can full-time. And one of the hardest things was my old record collection. I used to be a DJ, so I had hundreds of records, and I just decided to keep my favorites, you know, hold on to them for a little bit more, because sometimes you just have to, you know, like to pinch the needle on the groove and listen to some music, you know, the old-fashioned way. For me, by the way, it's really hard to throw stuff away. That's why it's been very hard for me to do this this downsizing, because to me it seems wasteful. You know, but what do you do with old books? Nobody seems to want old books. And I have some niche stuff that probably not even at the library, at the RV park, nobody's going to want them. So I don't know what to do. There's also this app called Declutter. And let me show you, because it is spelled in a weird way. Okay, here we go. It's spelled D-E-C-L-U-T-T-R. So it's missing a couple of vowels there. It's called declutter. And what you do, if you have a lot of CDs or video games or DVDs, they even take some old electronics, you just scan the barcode on the CD or the DVD that you have, or just put the description of your old electronics, and they give you a price that they're going to give you for that item. You see, these are usually from a few cents to a couple of bucks, and but you know, it adds up, and if you have like 300 CDs like I do, it does add up to a fair amount of money. Then you just they'll pay for the shipping, and you ship it to them, and they'll send you a check. You know, it's a nice way if you want to get rid of stuff. Nowadays, there are so many innovative ways that you can do this kind of thing. It's the app. It's called Declutter. And I'm going to put a link in the show notes as well. Anyways, today I'm going to unite John's and Kathy's Big Rig people with my travel trailer people and everyone else in between. And I'm going to talk about upgrading our RVs, which is something that we all have to do at one point or another. You know, add things, replace things, and make your traveling as comfortable and as pleasant as possible. On our second voyage, by the way, we named our RV Minitini. You know why? Because it looked so tiny among all the big rigs. We were at the Peace River Thousand Trails campground, and most of the rigs there were either diesel pushers, big class A's, or fifth wheels. It didn't look nearly as tiny as it did at the Super Rally in Tampa, because we were, you know, sandwiched among all these 45 feet long diesel pushers, and well, at least we got shade. But anyways, it's tiny by American standards. It's 19 feet 2 inches long, 7 feet wide, with no slides, which is something that I actually like, one less thing that can break. And it's 9 feet 7 inches tall, so I could pretty much go under almost anything. I am 5'10". So I fit nicely in the 6 feet and 4 inches of interior height. It has a front bed, amazingly comfortable for what it is, with storage underneath and a dinette on the curbside. Well, I shall rephrase, had a dinette on the curbside, and the galley and the fridge are on the street side, and the rear corner bathroom on the smallish size. The gross vehicle weight is rated at 5,500 pounds, 2,980 dry weight, plus 2,550 carry-on capacity. And all this is supported by dual axles, which is actually one of the features that makes this trailer tow so easily. I mean, let me tell you, sometimes I even forget it is behind me, which is not a very good thing. That is, until a semi-truck passes me on the interstate, and you know, your rear behind goes a little bit to the right and to the left, and it's kind of unnerving sometimes. But yeah, it is very easy to tow, even with my somewhat underpowered SUV. My holding tanks are actually pretty respectable. I have a 43-gallon fresh water tank, and then 25 and 25 for gray and black, which is actually pretty good, and it would be great if my sensors were accurate. And that's the problem. Sometimes you are boondocking at a place where you cannot dump, and you have 25 gallons, but you have no idea how many gallons you actually have used, because your gray water tank says it is full when it is actually halfway full. And the black water, forget about it. That thing is almost always says full, because, you know, some stuff gets stuck in the sensor. And that's one upgrade that I want to do in the future. I do want accurate sensors, and they have these new sensors that are like a sonar that goes on the outside of the tank, and they're supposed to be great. But in order to install those, I'm gonna have to remove the underbelly of the trailer, and I'm really not ready to undertake that kind of job, not at the moment. By the way, let me tell you two of the main upgrades that I've done to the RV. And the first one that I did like a little over a year ago, it was a fantastic vent, which, you know, everybody pretty much, all the new RVs pretty much have them. It's this extractor vent on the roof that has a, you know, a cover, and it supposedly sucks out all the hot air and it brings cooler air through the windows. That is, if there's any cooler air outside, because if you are in the summer in Miami and it's 80, 90, 95 degrees outside, the air coming through those windows, it's gonna be 95 degrees, not a lot cooler than the air that was already inside the RV. But it's very nice if you are in a place more inland, actually. And when it at night it drops down to like 70, 75 degrees, or even cooler. But if it drops out any cooler, you may have to use the furnace. But if you have it in low, you get this very, very pleasant breeze coming in through the window. And in those cases, it works great. Now, everybody makes you believe that, you know, it's going to be like a cyclone, you know, all this air coming in through the windows. In reality, it's really not all that strong, in my personal opinion. Maybe my windows are too big. I don't know. Anyways, I got the top of the line unit, since I was going to already do the undertaking of removing the existing vent and installing this one. And it has a remote control from the bed. You know, I can turn it on or off or change the speed. It has like a temperature sensor where if it is too hot, you can set it automatically. So when it's hotter, it runs faster, and when it gets cooler, it slows down. And it does have a rain sensor, which is very important. And so if it starts raining, it'll close the vent automatically. And I know that there are also some other vents that you can put on top of it, like the Max Air, I believe it is called, where you can have it open even if it's raining, but I don't have that yet. Okay, that was one of the main upgrades that I did, because I was going to do a boondocking trip to Chicago, which I did last spring. And the second upgrade that I did for that trip, since we were going to be boondocking a couple of nights in a row, it was a solar panel, which is great. And mainly because, you know, I'm lazy and I don't have to unplug the battery anymore when we're going to stay here at home for more than 2 weeks. So that is great. It keeps my batteries charged. And when you are on the road and you are going to be boondocking or what is it called when you park at a Walmart, blacktop camping or something like that. So we stayed at a couple of Walmarts on that trip. And we also stayed at the McCormick Convention Center in Chicago, which is a great place to stay at Chicago for very little money. I believe it was $35 a night just to park overnight at the place. And, you know, you have no hookups, but you are in Chicago for $35. What more do you want? And the solar panel worked great on that trip, and it continues to work great whenever we're going to do a trip with no hookups, like we did a couple of weeks ago. Actually, we went to the Everglades. I bought this kit that came with everything that I supposedly needed to install it. It was from Renology. I bought it on Amazon. I'll put a link in the show notes. But it came with a 100-watt solar panel, and it came with the charge controller, which is not the greatest charge controller. You know, the real fancy ones tell you voltages and amps and all kinds of stuff. This one pretty much just tells you whether it's charging, whether the battery is charged, giving you a very, very limited amount of information. But for the most part, it works great. I did one thing that was not in the instructions. Supposedly you have to connect it directly to the battery with the provided cables, but for that, again, I would have to remove the underbelly of Minitini the trailer, and I didn't feel like doing that. So what I did, I connected it. I consulted with an electrician friend, and he said that it was fine. I connected it to the ports in my distribution box where the battery is connected. So in the end, it's the same copper, it's the same electricity going to the battery. So I just used my existing cables, and so far it's worked fine. The third upgrade that I did, and that's the most recent one, is the dinette. And the dinette in my RV was kind of uncomfortable, you know, especially if you were to sit down inside on a rainy day for many hours, or if you were working, the seat was too low, the table was too high. It was not comfortable, especially to work on the computer. So what I did, I removed the dinette. Somebody said, you violated Minitini. And I sure did. But in an RV as small as ours, it is kind of inefficient to have something in there that is permanent, you know, that you cannot use that space for multiple uses. And it was not like it had, you know, some dinettes have the fresh water tank under one of the seats. This one didn't. It was just storage and, for the most part, wasted space. So I removed the dinette, and I had seen this table from IKEA in this other YouTube channel, Nathan and Marisa. They're a full-timing family, and they didn't get this table, but they showed it in IKEA, and I said, and That's almost exactly the same idea that I had for Minutini, the trailer. So I bought these two tables that are folding tables. You know, they screw to the wall and then they fold down. You can have them down and have more room inside the RV, or you can put them up. I did encounter one tiny little problem when attaching them to the wall, because this RV is not like the wall in your house. It's not sheetrock. It's called laminate walls. And there are these very, very thin walls, and there are no studs, no vertical studs. Periodically you find these metal studs, but it's not the same as in the house. So I started researching online, and what most people do is first you screw a piece of wood to the wall so you can distribute the weight along a larger surface, and then you screw the table to that piece of wood. So I found a nice piece of baseboard, and that actually looks great. But it looks like we are running out of time here. I'll tell you all about my other upgrades in the next episode. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Traveling Robert. Do subscribe to the YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/Traveling Robert. And remember, you can send me feedback at my email, robert@travelingrobert.com, or by clicking on the send voicemail button on my website. Until the next time, thank you so much for listening, and see you on the road.